Good morning again. It's good to have you with us today, whether you're at home streaming or you're here in the sanctuary. This morning, I'm going to be preaching on how easy it is to let other things get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. So watch out, okay? Because it is really far too easy to let things get in the way of our newfound life in Christ. Because in this day and age, we are just so busy. I mean, we're busy from the minute we get up until the moment we go to bed, and we place so much emphasis on everything else and far too little emphasis on our relationship with Christ. How many of you would agree with me? All right. How many of you might agree with me? Okay. All right. Truly, and please hear this, every relationship, especially our relationship with Jesus, needs to be nurtured, okay? And hear that again. Every relationship, especially our relationship with Jesus, needs to be nurtured. So the title of today's message is, Jesus is Calling. Let's just say that after me. Jesus is calling. Okay. Let's stand together and repeat our Bible declaration. Please grab your Bible and hold it up towards heaven. I'm really trying very hard not to say, man, it's quiet in here today. So I won't say, man, is it quiet in here today. Because, you know, I preach better when it's loud in here, but I won't mention that part of it. Are you ready? All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. You can be seated. Let's go. While you're sitting down, if you would turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, we will read that for our scripture text for today. Revelation 2, 5. Are you there? All right, cheater. It's up here anyway. Okay? Here we go. Remember, I like that word. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Repent. Excuse me. The book of Revelation is something that I take really seriously. And that's why you don't hear me preach from it very often. There's this part in there, you know, towards the back of the book that reads like this. It says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life." Serious stuff. "From the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, I don't know about you, but that's big stuff. To me, that's big stuff. And I don't ever want to be guilty of adding to or taking away from. So I don't preach a whole lot on that. When I get a full revelation of what Revelation is, then you're going to hear it. But until I do, you're going to have to hear it from everybody else. But the Holy Spirit was pretty clear this morning. So here we go. All right? Here we go. I have some questions for you to consider as we get started. And I want you to think about these, okay? Just think about them. Can you think of a time when your spiritual passion burned more brightly than it's burning today? Can you think of a time when your spiritual passion burned brighter than it is today? And if so, how were you different then than you are today? Okay, think about that. And do you recall a time when you were like a spiritual burning inferno? And I think probably all of us have been at that place. When we first get saved, we're just on fire. How would you describe your spiritual fire today? Would it be high, medium, low, gone, inconsistent maybe? Then I want you to think about exactly what it was that set your heart on fire. Why did you get so excited? Why was your point of salvation such a great thing? What was it that got you so excited? Okay. Serena, would you come pray, please? Don't pay any attention to everybody being real quiet, okay? Okay.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have redeemed it for us.
Yes.
God, that you are a redeemer. God, and we will say so. Help us to be the called and the chosen that you redeemed. Help us to say and be the disciples that you've called. Help us to be in love with you, Father. Help us to fall back in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
Show us the areas, God, where we have walked away from our first love. Help us to return to you. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father, that we can see what your Holy Spirit wants to teach us today.
Mm-hmm.
Help open our hearts, God, to receive. Don't let our lips say one thing to you, Father, and our hearts be far from you. Help our hearts to be engaged and our ear to be inclined to what your Spirit wants to say today, Father. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. As you and I walk daily with the Lord, there's always this danger that's lurking around the corner, just waiting to pounce on us. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, it's the devil, right? It's the devil. He's lurking around every corner. No, I'm not going to say the devil. But this thing that is lurking has a tendency, if you will, that as each one of us grows more mature in relationship with the Lord and we become more structured and more polished and more refined and more doctrinally developed, if you will, which is good. But the lurking tendency is that we slowly start to forfeit the zeal and the spiritual fire that we once possessed. Are you with me? If any of you experienced anything like this, I didn't think I'd get much of an answer. What we once held precious, what we used to look at and just it would set us on fire, has a tendency to become routine after some time. And as we become accustomed to God's precious Holy Spirit, I wish that weren't so, but we do. We become accustomed to the Holy Spirit. Too often, we unintentionally begin to simply traffic in the things of God. In other words, we go through the motions. How many of you have gone through the motions before? All right. I don't know, okay? I don't know a single mature Christian, and by that I mean anybody that's been in the Lord for any amount of time, who hasn't had to fight this temptation. As the reality of their reason for turning to Christ gradually becomes a distant memory. It's kind of just a subtle backsliding, if you will. I mean, you can be serving the Lord in it, but still it's a backsliding that occurs in the very act. It occurs in the very act of loving and serving God. A good example of this is found in the story of the church of Ephesus, okay, a renowned church the Apostle Paul planted. These early Ephesian believers had come to Christ in a blaze of glory. I mean, it was great. From the very onset of their congregation, they had experienced demonstrations of God's power. Don't you love it when we see demonstrations of God's power? Amen? They witnessed people being delivered from idol worship and liberated from evil spirits. And many of them were healed in just miraculous ways. And we've seen that here as a church. And out of their zeal and excitement for Christ, they had burned all their occult books. And I did that too. I mean, we lived in Rothbury at the time. If you could have seen the fire that we had, I didn't have occult books, but I had books that I shouldn't have had, okay? And you can just figure that out for yourself. But I burned them all up. But they burned their books of magic spells that were worth a small fortune. It didn't matter to them what it was costing them. They were going to serve the Lord. And they were just excited about it. And in doing this, they were demonstrating in their burning of their books, they were demonstrating a deep and sincere repentance for what they had done, in their willingness to completely sever their lives from their pagan past. You know, that is so important that we absolutely sever our lives from our pagan past. You know, we have to become somebody different. That's what I like about being born again, okay? Because I can't take any of the old life into my new life because it will corrupt my new life. Amen? Yes. Amen. And in doing this, they were demonstrating a deep, sincere repentance, okay? Just a deep, sincere repentance. The truth is that in the early years, the church of Ephesus was on fire for Jesus, and everybody knew it. The whole world knew it. I mean, their reputation was spreading everywhere. And their excitement inspired that same passion in other churches and other spiritual leaders throughout the Roman Empire. But as the years passed, okay, and maybe you can identify with this, the zeal that the Ephesian church had for the things of God slowly began to ebb away and become a thing of the past. Undoubtedly, as the church grew, so did its members' schedules and routines and habits and customs and traditions. The subtle backsliding that often occurs when Christians become involved in serving seems to be exactly what happened to this great church. And what once was a magnificent testimony had become a distant memory. The Ephesian believers were so busy, now get this, please, serving Jesus that they had lost their intimacy with him. What can I equate that to today? Well, you couldn't pray today because you had to be to church at 6 o'clock to do some things and practice for a play or whatever. Well, I couldn't pray today because I had to bring this food over to these people here. Are you with me? I couldn't show the Lord that I loved him. I really felt like worshiping him. But you know, I had things to do, and it was for the church, so God understood. They had lost their intimacy. And I'm so afraid in my own life and in the lives of the people in the church that I pastor that maybe you've done that same thing. Let me tell you something. As it is with any relationship, when you lose intimacy in a relationship, the foundation of that relationship is in trouble. All right? When you lose intimacy in a relationship, the foundation of that relationship is in trouble. It's also likely that they experienced the loss of their joy in serving, since the joy of serving and the joy of ministry is impossible to maintain without a connection with Jesus, a living connection with Jesus. And you really don't have anything to give anybody unless you have a connection with Jesus. You can give them all the food in the world. You can do all the things in the world. But if you're not connected to Jesus, what have you really, really got to give them? Revelation 2:4 tells us that the Ephesian believers had lost their first love. In other words, they had lost the simplicity and the passion once associated with their early love for Jesus Christ, and they had backslidden into complacency. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? You know, we as Christians, we ebb and flow, man. One day, you know, we're on fire for the Lord, and the next day, we don't even pray. And then the next day, we read our Bible, and we're going to do it right, and then the next day, you know, we're ebbing and we're flowing. Today, we love God. And then tomorrow, we love God, but we can't show it. But for this reason, okay, and I believe it's the same for you and I today, but for this reason, Jesus urged them to stop everything that they're doing and remember. And we've talked about remembering before. They needed to remember the simple, loving relationship they had with Christ before they became so spiritually sophisticated, so mature, if you will. Jesus says this in Revelation 5 and 6. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. The word remember in the scripture comes from the Greek root mneme, okay? Mneme. In ancient literature, this word pointed to a written record used to memorialize a person's actions, something like a eulogy, okay? It also pointed towards a sepulcher or a statue or a monument or a tombstone, if you will. It's very significant, really, that the word meneme can be translated as a sepulcher. It suggests that the Ephesian believers' early experiences with Christ had become buried by 30 years of religious activity. And Jesus urged them to dig through all the clutter of their schedules and routines and activities so that they could remember their beginning. The busyness of ministry, the busyness of life, and their day-to-day had seemingly buried what was once a priority for them. And by using the word remember, okay, Jesus was encouraging them to dig deep, okay, to dig deep and unearth those early times when their faith was tender and when it was new, to dig deep in order to recall and recover the memory of their past. Because Jesus knew that once they remembered, they would be able to see how far they had drifted from the excitement of their salvation that once marked their beginnings. Are you staying with me here?
Yeah.
That's good, because it isn't that much longer, okay? However, the word remember or meneme can also refer to a statue or a monument. And what this tells us is that some memories should remain in our lives forever, okay, and never be forgotten. Because the purpose of a statue or a monument is to put people in remembrance of a significant historical event or person. Amen? Are you with me? Statues and monuments and tombstones are made either of metal or stone. They're made to last, and they're made to endure many days. But memories must be deliberately maintained if they are to remain in our hearts and our minds. And if significant memories, like getting saved, aren't maintained, they become lost under the overgrowth of life, just like a neglected grave with no tombstone on it. It doesn't take too long before the location of such a grave can be completely lost. Unfortunately, okay, in the same way. All right. Important memories are often easily forgotten. Adults forget their childhood, okay? Nations forget their heritage. And Christians forget their early beginnings with Jesus. And in Revelation 2:5, we discover that entire churches can even forget their past. Years of activity and years of Christian service can so consume a person's energy and strength that they begin to forget the great work of grace that God performed in their hearts, slowly reducing what was once refreshing and exciting into a monotonous religious routine. Don't get me wrong. You know, a religious routine is good, okay? It really is. It's good to have that in your life. We religiously pray, amen? We religiously read the Bible. We religiously attend a church and give support to that church, amen? It's when religion overtakes your relationship with Christ, that's when religion becomes toxic, okay? You know, so many Christians, they synonymous with having a relationship, they seem to think serving is the same thing. It's necessary. It has to be done. But you know, you can teach Sunday school every morning, you can lead worship every Sunday morning, you can preach every Sunday morning and still not have a relationship with Jesus. Oh, how can you do that? You can do it. You can do it. I know from my own life, you know, of the ebbing and the flowing, there is times when I get up here, I don't feel like the most spiritual guy in the room, if you know what I mean. And so, especially when you get experienced, and after you're experienced, you can hide it pretty good. And nobody knows, but the one who is most important knows, and you know. So, soon the early memories of coming to Christ are buried under an overgrowth of activity and really spiritual weeds. And I seriously don't have very, very much farther to go. And a once thankful people begin to forget how wonderful God's grace was when it first touched their hearts, how it changed you, how you had tried so hard to be different, and once Jesus really came into your life, everything changed. The word that's translated remember is in the present active imperative, okay? I'm sure you wanted to know that. But it means this, that Jesus wanted the Ephesian believers and you and I to be continually mindful of their past. Be continually mindful of what brought you to Christ. Be continually mindful where you came from. What God had done for them, you know, it was a wonderful memory and it needed to be memorialized for all generations. And if they took an honest look at themselves and compared their present condition to their past condition, they would see that they would see what Jesus already knew about them, okay? That they were fallen. That they were fallen compared to the zeal and the spiritual passion that they once burned in their hearts. The word fallen simply means this. It means downfall from a high and lofty position. The Greek tense of this falling doesn't describe the process of falling, okay? But rather one who has already completely fallen and who is now living in an already completely fallen state. When you first got saved, did you ever think there was a possibility that you could attend church every Sunday morning and be in a completely fallen state? And I'm not trying to be hard on anybody this morning. I think, every once in a while, God calls us to, or the Holy Spirit calls us to, just kind of take inventory to find out where we were at, you know. And sometimes I look at my life, and I think, what's really different? Well, I don't smoke anymore. All right. I don't drink anymore. Good. You know, I don't cuss and swear anymore. I don't do a lot of things that I used to do, but is that what is important? Or is the most important thing that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That I maintain a prayer life, that I maintain a life reading the Bible? And not just your 3 chapters a day so you can get done in a year. But you love the Word of God so much that you spend a lot of time in it. I know, and I've often said that if there's one thing that I could name that's kept me saved over these 40 years, it's the Word of God. And because God put in my heart a love for the Word of God. But the Greek tense doesn't describe the process of falling. What Jesus was talking about here is someone who had completely fallen already. The people in the church at Ephesus had hosted the world's greatest Christian leaders, okay? Experienced the awesome power of God and become more advanced in spiritual knowledge than any other church of its time. The Christian world at the time looked at this congregation as the model church. Boy, if we could just be like, you know, the church at Ephesus, it'd be like us going, well, I don't know, I'm not going to do that. Those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. I'm not the big church's problem, and they're not mine. Okay. But they were considered just the model church. However, we need to understand and never forget that what can be carefully hidden from human eyes can never be concealed from Jesus' eyes. Do you hear me? What can be carefully hidden from human eyes, I cannot let you see what's really going inside of me. But Jesus sees it. He knows what's going on. I could preach the best message I have ever preached and not be where I should be. Why? Because the gifting and callings of God are without repentance. He's not sorry that he called those he called. But Hebrews 4:13 tells us that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. In other words, Jesus sees it all. Amen. Say it with me. Jesus sees it all. And Christ is often not impressed, okay, with the things that impress us. He sees a different picture. He sees this futuristic picture that others don't see, and we certainly don't see. Many, many people have been impressed with the heritage of the Ephesian church and its roster of famous personalities who passed through its doors. But in Jesus' eyes, what were they? Fallen. They were fallen. The question is here, if this illustrious church and its people, with this list of remarkable accomplishments, could be called fallen, then it's clear that any church or any people, regardless of its notable beginning or enduring fame, can also be fallen. That means you and I can be fallen. See, and I can sit here and try to figure out who I'm talking to, but there's only two people, and I shouldn't say people, two entities that know whether or not you are. You and God. Okay? You and God. You can look so spiritual to me, and I have made some huge mistakes by taking these so spiritual-looking people and putting them in positions, and then had a hard time getting them out and regretted doing so. But they looked so good. They did everything right. They talked the talk. I thought they were walking the walk. But one's past is not a guarantee for one's future, okay? See, this is where the Assemblies of God in this other church bump heads, okay? And that's in eternal security. According to one church, they say that if I walk away from God now, I was never saved at all. That for 40 years of doing this, I was never saved, okay? I say, and my church says, okay, that I was saved, but I walked away. What made me walk away? By not maintaining my relationship with the Lord. It's not, you know, by not being here every Sunday. Oh, man, it's not that. It's by not having a relationship with the Lord and counting it important. Important enough to push some other things aside. Important enough, and I'm speaking to somebody here, important enough to get those other things out of the way to give you 5, 10, 15 minutes of prayer time. To just touch base, to just stay in contact, if you will, to be in Christ. If an individual or a church isn't completely devoted to doing whatever is necessary to retain its spiritual passion, then it's likely that they're fallen already. Just as Christ spoke to the congregation at Ephesus, okay, I believe he's compelling us, okay, to return to him. I'm not saying everybody or anybody in this room is backslidden. You know that. You and God know that. But I believe he's compelling us to return to him and rekindle that fire that once burned so brightly in our hearts. How many of you today could really raise your hand and say that I'm as excited today as I was the day I got saved? You know, there's something wrong with that, right? Isn't there? There's something wrong with that. We need to unearth the precious memories of what our walk with Jesus was like at the beginning. I mean, honestly. And then honestly see if we have retained that same passion or if we've let it slip. I mean, have we let it slip over the passing of time due to schedules, to routines, or other reasons, like thinking doing the church thing is all there needs to be? Now, I don't want anybody to get confused here. I'm not talking to anybody and saying, you should just quit what you're doing in the church. I'm not saying that, okay? What I'm saying is, if you don't have time to pray and promote a relationship with Jesus, you haven't tried. Because somehow, some way, some supernatural way, when we take time for God, he adds it back to us. I remember when I first got saved, Felix came over to my house, and he talked about praying and doing this and doing that. And he had somewhere he had to be, and we were going through some kind of a crisis. And anyway, he came all the way out to our house, which is way out east of Rothbury. And he came out there, and I said, "Man, Felix, don't you have to go? I mean, you got a lot to do, you know." And he said to me, he said, "Oh, I'm not worried about it. Every time I minister for the Lord, every time I take time for the Lord, he adds it back to me." And I have seen it over and over and over again. You know what? Jesus is calling. Did you hear me? Jesus is calling. And he cries out to everybody who has an ear to hear what he is saying. Is it possible? I mean, is it possible that Jesus is speaking to you today? And I don't know who that might be. Is he asking you to reevaluate the condition of your own spiritual passion? Or has religion or busyness gotten in the way of what is or should be of tremendous importance in your life? Your pastor can't answer that question. Your wife can't answer it. Your husband can't answer it. Your mom, your dad. Nobody can answer that question for you because you know the answer. Are you taking time? Are you taking time to grow in the things of the Lord? Are you taking time in giving Christ the position in your life that he needs to have, that he needs to have for you? And again, only you can answer that question. Only you and God, that is. So what is the answer? How do I if I'm not in Christ, if I'm just going through the motions, if I'm busy at church, but you know my prayer life is a mess, if you know, what's the answer? Start to pray. That's a really, really, you know, great answer. But get up 5 minutes earlier. Get up 10 minutes earlier. I know that's hard because people who are consistently 20 minutes late don't get up 20 minutes earlier for church. And I don't care because I'd rather have you here than anywhere else, even if you come in at the last 5 minutes, because then I get to count you. No, I'm kidding. I've got a declaration for us all to say here this morning. But I think first I'm going to ask you, and just raise your hand if this is you. And please be honest this morning. Please, you know, if you're the only one that raises your hand, that's worth it. In looking at your life today, answer this question. Are you as on fire for Jesus as you were in the beginning? Or do you need a little bit more fuel dumped on your fire? Anybody? Think about it. Great. That's great. Well, you can be sure that this whole morning was for each one that raised their hands, because this wasn't together until this morning. And if you raised your hand, or even if you didn't and you want to respond, stand with me, please. I want to encourage you just to come to this altar. You know, again, only you know and only God knows. Well, now I do, okay? But I encourage you to come to this altar. And we're gonna say this declaration. So the altar's open. If you want things to change in your life and you want to get closer to Jesus, because you can't really honestly say you're as close as you used to be, then come. Then just come. And I guess what I want to say, and my close to Jesus might be different than your close to Jesus. Okay? You know, maybe I got to pray 3 hours a day to make it. Sometimes I do. Maybe yours is different than that. But it's the idea of knowing and understanding and realizing that upon taking inventory, you're not where you used to be. You're not even at the beginning. And I appreciate your honesty. All right. We're going to make a declaration today, okay? Now, I want you to say this after me. Say after.
After,
after me. All right? Are you ready?
Ready.
I declare.
I declare.
That I will remember God's grace. Working in my life.
Working in my life.
And give him the glory due his name.
And give him the glory due his name.
I declare.
I declare.
I am his. I am his, and my heart is wholly his, and I am devoted and undivided in my affection for him.
I am his, and my heart is wholly his, and I am devoted and undivided in my affections for him.
I declare.
I declare.
I will not let schedules.
I will not let schedules.
Routines.
Routines.
Habits.
Habits.
Customs.
Customs.
And traditions.
And traditions.
Get in the way of my relationship with Jesus.
Get in the way of my relationship with Jesus.
I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Now thank God and thank Jesus that he never lets us go. And he always calls us back to where we need to be to get going again. Are you with me this morning? Thank him for that. Thank him for that. Just give him praise for that this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you see these that have come forward today and how much they want to have a relationship with you that's more than what it is today. They want to reclaim that excitement, reclaim that utter devotion to you that they once had at the beginning of their walk with you. I pray that they would begin to remember, and I pray they begin to recall the different things that you have done for them and how they tried themselves and they couldn't do it, but then you came into their life and doing things was no longer hard. It was when they were given to you, they would get done. Just help them remember, God. And Lord, the busyness, God, the schedules that we all try to keep, I pray, Lord, that each person that wants this to happen, that wants to reestablish, maybe it would be a prayer time in their life, that maybe that they would start just by getting up a little bit earlier and spending that time with you. And God, I'm sure they're going to see the benefit of that. God, I thank you today. I thank you today for those who are honest before you, God. I pray you'd bless them. Bless them big. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen.